from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast via shortwave on 95 to 5 kHz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.
Listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, here are the programs for today's edition on Thursday, January the 4th, 2018. As usual, we will begin with the news, followed by commentary, Today in History, My Indonesia, Indonesian Wonder, and Miscellany. And we will end today's edition, as usual, with the music program called Music Corner. Listener, that is our program for today. So, stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
This is Ania Sana with the news. First, the headlines. Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla will be in Afghanistan for Kabul peace process. Indonesian Minister Retno encourages cooperation of Islamic education between Indonesia and the Philippines. And now the news in detail. Indonesian Ambassador to Afghanistan Arif Rahman said that after President Joko Widodo visited Afghanistan late January, Vice President Yusuf Kalla is also scheduled to visit Afghanistan on February 28. Ambassador Arif Rahman to media in Jakarta on Wednesday explained that the Vice President will visit Afghanistan as a special guest for Kabul peace process, which is initiated by the government of Afghanistan.
Jadi beberapa hari yang lalu ada ulama Afghanistan.
Several days ago, there were Afghanistan ulamas who came here to meet with Indonesian Ulama Council. They came to hold meeting with ulamas of Pakistan, and they also planned for the bigger meeting with some countries. For the visit, Mr. Vice President, I think Mr. Vice President or Foreign Affairs Minister has conveyed that President Ashraf Ghani invited the Vice President as a special guest in the event on February 28, namely Kabul Peace Process. The Kabul Peace Process is the peace process which is initiated by the government of Afghanistan.
President Ashraf Ghani mengundang Bapak Wakil Presiden kita sebagai tamu khusus pada waktu acara nanti tanggal 28 Februari.
In addition, figures and related communities groups consisting of 24 representatives of neighboring countries will also attend the event. But Ambassador Arif Rahman also said that a dozen of those countries will only become observers in the conference. In the meeting, the government of Afghanistan and internal figures from various parties will share dialogue to discuss concrete steps in a bid to realize peace. Afghanistan is a country which is still hit by prolonged civil conflict. Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi encourages cooperation of Islamic education between Indonesia and the Philippines. When opening a workshop of Indonesia, the Philippines about Islamic educational cooperation in Jakarta on Wednesday, she hoped that the workshop may result in recommendations as a base to make Memorandum of Understanding MOU about Islamic education. As quoted by Antara News Agency, in long term, the collaboration is able to become a model of partnership between both countries and other countries to promote peace and tolerance. The minister wishes the workshop held on Thursday will be able to create a roadmap for the two countries to develop the cooperation. She disclosed three points of hope on the workshop, namely to promote Islamic real face to the world, to promote modern Islamic education and having high quality, and making sure the collaboration to involve all relevant stakeholders, including the community. Chief of Indonesian Police General Tito Karnavian, along with a number of police chiefs of ASEAN and Australia, met Vice President Yusuf Kalla in Jakarta on Wednesday. The meeting was aimed at reporting about the conferring of Bintang Bayangkara Utama Award to 5 police chiefs of neighboring countries, namely Singapore, Brunei Darussalam, the Philippines, Australia, and Malaysia, and also one former police chief in Malaysia who was previously approved by Indonesian President Joko Widodo. Police Chief Tito Karnavian said that Vice President Yusuf Kalla hoped that the conferring of the awards is able to strengthen international cooperation, especially in handling terrorism, human trafficking, transnational and cybercrime.
Ini penganugerahan ini diberikan atas usulan dari
The awards Kapolri are presented based on Chief of Indonesian Police proposal to the President for their services to develop good relations with Indonesian police. So far, our relations have been very good with Malaysia, Singapore, Australia, Brunei, and also the Philippines, especially to face transnational crimes such as terrorism, drugs, human smuggling, commercial crime, and cybercrime. We are neighbors.
Our neighbors.
Chief General Tito Karnavian added that police chiefs of ASEAN and Australia, as the awards recipients, are considered to have good relations with the Indonesian police and government. He also said that Vice President did appreciate the awarding and hoped that the relations between Indonesian police and hoped that the relations between Indonesian police and neighboring police will be better from time to time. This news comes to you over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesia is a great nation with an extraordinary cultural diversity. It has an asset in the form of creative people, more than 700 languages, and very unique ethnic and cultural diversity. An observer of creative economy of Gajah Mada University, Windu Nuryanti, explained those assets are important capital in developing the creative economy. To RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, Wednesday, February 14, she explained that in the last 10 years, creative economy has highly contributed to Indonesia's gross domestic product GDP. Besides absorbing employment, the creative economy also has a high resistance to crisis. If synergized with the tourism sector, creative economy can contribute at least 15% for GDP. According to her, there are 3 main keys to develop the creative economy as the backbone of national development in Indonesia.
Pertama, SDM. Kemudian,
first is human resources, and then second is creativity. The creativity in this case is copyright and networking protection. These 3 points are the main keys if we want to see our creative economy become the national backbone. It must be handled thoroughly.
Networking dan perlindungan hak cipta.
Windu Nuryanti further explained, in the field of human resources, Indonesia has various advances in 14 elements of the creative economy. In terms of film quality, Indonesia has made significant leaps. She pointed out, in fashion, Indonesia can boast in Asia. Similarly, in music and animation, Indonesia has a lot of communities in the field. She viewed that the government is really serious in handling the creative economy. Thus, the banking industry needs to give ease to creative economy entrepreneurs as an effort to move the creative economy. Speaker of the House of Representatives DPR, Bambang Susatyo, during a plenary meeting at the Parliamentary Building in Jakarta on Wednesday, appreciates the Indonesian government which has quickly responded on malnutrition problem in Papua recently. The House keeps encouraging the government to pay more attention to the victims so that the handling can be done continuously. Related to the extraordinary accidents such as measles epidemic and malnutrition in Asmat Regency, Papua, the House of Representatives appreciates the government for its quick response in handling the disaster. But the House also reminds the government to soon have accurate data of vulnerable disaster districts towards malnutrition. House Speaker Bambang Susatyo also appealed the central government, regional government, and regional agency for disaster mitigation to keep alert in overcoming disaster and victims. He asked the government to synergize mutually so that all kinds of health problems can be handled quickly. Indonesian Permanent Representative to the United Nations in New York, Dian Triansyah Jani, said that towards selection of non-permanent member of the UN Security Council in June, Indonesia emphasized reformation in the multilateral organization. The reformation is aimed at creating the United Nations Security Council, which is more efficient and adaptable with development era. She told the press in Jakarta on Wednesday that there are three pillars of the UN Security Council which must be reformed, namely management, peacekeeping operations, and the UN development system. Currently, the process in the UN reformation runs with three pillars, namely management, reformation related to peacekeeping, and reformation related to UN development system. They are in negotiation process, and several times Indonesia conveyed statement to which the existence of the UN, which is more responsive, adaptable, and new challenges and able to tackle issue development related to development. Sometimes we forget the aspect.
Perkembangan kaitan dengan development, kadang-kadang lupa kita aspek itu.
Dian Triansyah Adjani added that Indonesia also emphasized on the need to direct contribution from countries which send peacekeeping personnel in delivery management, which so far has been under the UN Security Council. Related to the Indonesian chance to be a non-permanent member of the UN Security Council, Dian Triansyah Jani ensures that the opportunity is open widely. He is also sure that many countries have been committed to giving their vote to Indonesia. And the last item, a research analyst of FXTM, Lukman Otunuga, said in Jakarta on Wednesday that increase in bank credits is an indicator of acceleration in Indonesia's economic growth. He also affirmed that prospective investors are watching the trend in credit expansion by banks before they embark on big venture. He further said that the composite share price index of the Indonesian Stock Exchange could increase if data about credits was positive in January. Earlier, a survey by Bank Indonesia said that bank credits are expected to grow higher in the first quarter of 2018 compared with the same period last year. The quarterly survey by the central bank involving 40 banks reported that bank credits are expected to grow faster on a cut in lending rate and less risk in financing in 2018. And listener, to end the news, here are the headlines once again. Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla will be in Afghanistan for Kabul peace process. Indonesian Minister Retno Marsudi encourages cooperation of Islamic education between Indonesia and the Philippines. And that was the news. Commentary. Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary. The title of today's commentary is Refusing Foreign Intervention. Amidst reports to finalize the draft criminal code, locally called KUHP, Commission 3 of the People of Representatives, DPR, received the representatives of friendly countries from some European Union countries in Indonesia. They reminded that the revision of the articles in the criminal code about adultery and obscene acts of the same sex should not be extended because it will go into someone's privacy. A member of Commission 3 of the DPR, Nasir Jamil, views that the representative of the friendly countries actually realized that Indonesia's own values that must be respected, but they are still trying to make the Commission 3 consider the input. It's interesting to be observed that the expansion of the criminal article for adultery cases and obscene acts among the same sexes attracts a serious attention of some foreign individuals. Not only non-governmental organizations try to intervene, but also their official representatives come directly and openly. On behalf of human rights, they attempt to intervene the preparation of regulation in Indonesia. Can this serve as a serious test for Indonesian stakeholders? How can they refuse foreign intervention, and how serious are they to maintain the noble values of the nation? putting the issue on decency on its right position that becomes a debate, poses a controversy. Moreover, the values that exist amidst of the communities in today's millennium era and globalization are in contact with outside values. So it is possible that a new perspective occurs on the values that had been believed. In addition, there is involvement of foreign parties who actually want the glorifying values to be accepted in Indonesia. Indeed, it is not easy to face strong influence of the globalization, which is contrary to the noble values of Indonesian nation. The DPR must be strict, but wise to maintain the values. For Indonesia, the values of decency are clearly related to the matters of society and nation. They are related to neither personal nor family matters. In this regard, the respect towards human rights does not necessarily mean that we should set aside the obligations that every individual must obey. Thus, the use of rights must also be regulated to respect and ensure the fulfillment of the rights of other individuals. That there is different perspective between Indonesia and its some primary countries is about the diversity of nations in the world, which must be respected. The Indonesian nation is already on the track and a positive direction to welcome a better future. It is hoped that good deeds can be transmitted to other nations in the world. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Hello, listener. Nice to be again in our regular program Today in History over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Well, we start for an event on February 15, 1958 about the establishment of Revolutionary Government of Republic of Indonesia. Revolutionary Government of Republic of Indonesia was one of the contradiction movements between regional and central governments, which was declared on February 15, 1958. The movement was established with ultimatum released from struggle council led by Lieutenant Colonel Ahmad Hussein in Padang West Sumatra Province, Indonesia. The movement was welcomed by North Sulawesi and Central Sulawesi. On February 17, 1958, the regions declared support to the movement. The conflict was influenced by demand of regional wider autonomy. The central government considered that the movement should not be crushed by force of arms. The central government held joint operation which consisted of Army, Navy and Air Force. In a short time, many leaders of the movement surrendered. On May 29, 1961, Ahmad Hussein surrendered and the movement rebellion ended. And the next event was in 1989 when soldiers of Soviet Union left Afghanistan. On February 15, 1989, Red Army of Soviet Union succeeded to be expelled by Mujahideen Afghanistan. The success was gained by Mujahideen after around 10 years to fight against Soviet Union. Early Soviet Union Army attacked Afghanistan to establish the dual government at the country. In one hand, the United States of America, which felt its interest to be threatened in the South Asia, gave very harsh reaction, including to help establishment of struggle groups of Afghanistan. On the other hand, Muslim people of Afghanistan disliked the attendance of Soviet Union so that they continued to guerrilla to expel Soviet Union soldiers. Then late 1980s, there was a fundamental change on foreign policy of Soviet Union, so that Moscow was no more to give attention on its soldiers in Afghanistan. Finally, in 1989, Moscow ordered to withdraw his force from whole of Afghanistan region. And the last event was in 2003 about protests on anti-Iraq war. The protest occurred on February 15, 2003 and was followed by 600 cities throughout the world by around more than 10 million protesters. The protest entered into Guinness World Records as the largest demonstration of anti-war in the history. Some of the largest demonstration occurred in Europe. The largest protest was held in Rome, Italy, by involving around 3 million demonstrators. Madrid became the host of the second largest demonstration by more than 1.5 million people protesting the invasion to Iraq. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
Listener, welcome to My Indonesia for today's edition entitled Cultivation of Moral Rinjani Mushrooms at Mount Rinjani National Park in Lombok, West Nusa Tenggara. The Directorate General of Natural Resources Conservation and Ecosystems, in cooperation with the Bogor Forest Research and Development Center at the Ministry of Environment and Forestry, conducted research on moral mushroom in Mount Rinjani National Park, Lombok Island, West Nusa Tenggara. Researcher of the Bogor Forest Research and Development Center at the Ministry of Environment and Forestry, Dr. Maman Turjaman, in Mataram said that the research is aimed to obtain the cultivation technique of Rinjani moral mushroom both by site and ex-site programs. Maman Turjaman said that his site will also conduct a cultivation test inside the Mount Rinjani National Park area with certain locations eligible for mushrooms to grow. There are 1,000 planting media that have been prepared. He said that the moral mushroom that will be tested for cultivation is Moral Rinjani or Morcella crassipes. The designation of the mushroom name is based on research at National Center for Biotechnology or NCBI. The mushroom was found by the cultivation team of Mount Rinjani National Park when they were conducting routine monitoring within the area in 2009. The findings were later reported to the Bogor Research and Development Center for further investigation. He said that morel is the second most expensive mushroom in the world after the truffle's mushroom. Therefore, the researchers are motivated to do research, beginning in 2017. Researcher Asep Hidayat added that the morel mushrooms have been cultivated widely in Europe since 100 years ago, but the researchers in the country have firstly conducted research before disseminating the cultivation technology to the wider community. Besides in Europe, the mushroom researchers in China have also conducted research on the plant that can only grow in the tropical area since 1980. Then in 1992, they found the formula for cultivation. However, the cultivation for commercial interest began to be done in 2012. Maman Turjaman said, for Moral Rinjani, the Bogor Research and Development Center started exploration until laboratory test in 2017, just in 10 months. Now the center will try the cultivation technology. If the result is good, it will be cultivated massively. Meanwhile, Head of Subdivision of Cultivation of Mount Rinjani National Park, Dwi Pangestu, hope that the experimental cultivation of Moral Rinjani mushroom in conservation area could produce positive results. Therefore, the plant can be one of the non-timber forest products that can be utilized and cultivated to improve the welfare of the community around the area of Mount Rinjani. Besides moral mushroom, the area also produces ferns, grass, medicinal plants, honey, and rattan. Listener, that was My Indonesia.
This is Ania Sana with News in Brief. Indonesian Ambassador to Afghanistan Arif Rahman said that after President Joko Widodo visited Afghanistan late January, Vice President Yusuf Kalla is also scheduled to visit Afghanistan on February 28. Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi encourages cooperation of Islamic education between Indonesia and the Philippines when opening a workshop on Indonesia, the Philippines about Islamic educational cooperation in Jakarta on Wednesday. She hoped that the workshop may result in recommendations as a base to make memorandum of understanding about Islamic education. Chief of Indonesian Police General Tito Karnavian, along with a number of police chiefs of ASEAN and Australia, met Vice President Yusuf Kalla in Jakarta on Wednesday. The meeting was aimed at reporting about the conferring of Bintang Bayangkara Utama Award to 5 police chiefs of neighboring countries, namely Singapore, Brunei Darussalam, the Philippines, Australia, and Malaysia, and also one former police chief in Malaysia, who was previously approved by Indonesian President Joko Widodo. Indonesia is a great nation with an extraordinary cultural diversity. It has an asset in the form of creative people, more than 700 languages, and very unique ethnic and cultural diversity. An observer of creative economy of Gajah Mada University, Windu Nuryanti, explained, those assets are important capital in developing the creative economy. To RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta Wednesday, February 14, she explained that in the last 10 years, creative economy has highly contributed to Indonesia's gross domestic product or GDP. Speaker of the House of Representatives DPR Bambang Susatyo, during a plenary meeting at the Parliamentary Building in Jakarta on Wednesday, appreciated the Indonesian government which has quickly responded on malnutrition problem in Papua recently. Indonesian Permanent Representative to the United Nations in New York, Dian Triansyahjani, said that ahead of selection of non-permanent member of the UN Security Council in June, Indonesia emphasized reformation in the multilateral organization. And the last item, a research analyst of FXTM, Lukman Otunuga, said in Jakarta on Wednesday that increase in bank credits is an indicator of acceleration in Indonesia's economic growth. And listener, that was News in Brief.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will invite you to enjoy Bekamal culinary from Banyuwangi. Stay tuned. Banyuwangi is one of the cities in East Java Province. Osing or Using is an indigenous people who inhabit Banyuwangi region. Traveling to Banyuwangi, it's not complete if you do not interact directly with the life of Osing people. They have rich and unique customs and traditions. There are Banyuwangi Gandrung art, Barong dance, Kuntulan, Tumpeng Sewu tradition, and Jamuran tradition. In addition, the Osing tribe also has a typical culinary that you deserve to enjoy. One of them is bekamal, the culinary using meat as its main ingredient. listener to taste the bakamal. The meat is then processed again to be consumed as a side dish before reprocessing to minimize the distinctive aroma. Bakamal meat must be washed with clean water and then soaked overnight with lemon juice. This is done besides to reduce the distinctive aroma. It also reducing the dominant saltiness in bakamal. The Osing community in Gintang village usually serve bakamal meat as side dishes. The meat put in bamboo rice or sago jajang. To try the taste of bakamal that has been processed, you can find the culinary in Gintangan village, Banyuwangi. In addition, bakamal is also sold in the form of packaging. Listener, bakamal is taken from the Javanese and Using language, which means the fool of charity. The traditional culinary is estimated has been existed since the 16th century, when Islam began to enter the Blambangan kingdom, because at that time, people are familiar with the celebration of Eid al-Adha, so the meat stock is abundant during the sacrifice. The kingdom is a fragment of the last Majapahit kingdom in Java Island. The overflow of meat by the community is preserved into bakamal. Formerly, the local community put the meat into kandil, which is previously flavored and then closed tightly to at least 10 days. After the meat is considered cooked, it can be taken just a little bit to be salted as a side dish. Listener, that was the segment of Indonesian Wonder with a topic about bakamal culinary from Banyuwangi. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. See you and sampai jumpa.
Of Indonesia in My Language program was a media to preserve Indonesian regional language. Hello listener, welcome back with me Nuka in My Language. In today's edition, we are going to take you to visit Maluku province to know more about Hitu language. Besides being rich in natural resources, Maluku Province as a home of Hitu language also has tourism destinations such as Ora Beach, Warblot Beach, Tual City, Amsterdam Fort, and the World Peace Gong. In Maluku, tourism can find a wonderful place to spoil their eyes with a beautiful scenery and add historical knowledge. The number of Hitu language speakers decreases every year. If it happens continuously, Hitu language will be extinct. But the government does not keep silent. Through the Language Development Agency under the Ministry of Education and Culture, Indonesia continuously do revitalization efforts along with Hitu people. Listener, here are some examples of Hitu language. Orosila, in English, what time? Saato, in English, now. Kahu, in English, 9. Husalima, in English, 15. waktu, in English, watch. Manesa, in English, precise. Here is an example of a conversation in Hitu language. The conversation is between Leimena and Nuku asking about time. Leimena, orosila Nuku? In English, what time is it, Nuku? Nuku, ape yauwa alahime? In English, let me see. Saatale orosasiwa kahumenit husalima? In English, it's 9:15 now. Leimena, iyo yau waktu esa lalu manesa? In English, is your watch always precise? Yo waktu esalalu menesa. In English, sure, my watch is always precise. Leimena, terima kasih. In English, thank you. Make sure you send your criticism and suggestions to our email address voi@voinews.id or our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia. Well, listener, that was today's edition of My Language as a Media to Conserve Regional Language Variety in Indonesia. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from The Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to the regular music corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will introduce you nostalgic pop songs from Indonesian female singer Christine Panjaitan. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Katakan Sejujurnya. Happy listening.
Namun apa yang terjadi?
just listened to the song entitled Katakan Sejujurnya by Christine Panjaitan, who has a complete name, Christine Natalina Panjaitan. She became to be a popular singer in the Indonesian music lovers since she dedicated the song Katakan Sejujurnya. The song, which was composed by Rinto Harahap, released in 1987. The song tells about something hidden and has not been revealed. However, the woman wants to know what is felt by the beloved one, whether the same feeling or only one-sided feeling. This song was popular and always remembered all the time. Many musicians in Indonesia have arranged back the song Katakan Sejujurnya. One of them is Armada Band that released the song in 2014. Listener, wherever you are, let's listen to the next song entitled Sudah Kubilang by Christine Panjaitan. Enjoy the song.
Thank you.
Listener Christine Panjaitan reached her golden era in the 1980s. In addition to the song Katakan Sejujurnya, the singer, who was born on December 23, 1960, also has another hit song, Sudah Kubilang, as you have just listened before. The song gives a message to all of us as human beings in order not to obey the wishes of heart and wishful thinking. If in reality the beloved one is the right person, then she or he will always be there for you. Well, listener, to conclude the segment for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Untuk Mama and Kau, Dia, dan Aku by Christine Panjaitan. Happy listening. Sampai jumpa.
Sayang di sisiku.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Stay tuned on 9525 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th Floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, Nomor 4 and 5, Jakarta. PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.